seasons 4, 5, and 6 of Star Trek The Next Generation, you, ma'am, are in for a treat. A few nights in, watching Trek at its prime, sounds like a good way to beat this heat. So true, so true. Before I ring you up, I'm contractually obligated to say this. Can I interest you in a bowl of Hot Dave's piping hot spicy chili? Okay, I get it. Trust me. Here you go. Just make sure to have those back next Hoof's Day.
Looks like another scorcher.
Cool.
Seriously, though, it's hot this summer. Like, too hot. I'm starting to think something is going wrong with the climate.
Ryan, we live in an apocalyptic wasteland, remember?
I know. But goddamn, I don't even think that irradiated giga lizards of Sector 3 can live in this heat. The world is going to shit faster than my actual body.
I hear ya. And I'll be honest, I don't think this heat wave is the time for us to be pushing Hot Dave's piping hot spicy chili.
You know, now that you mention it, I don't think I've sold a single bowl.
I've only sold one. And I'm pretty sure that was Dave with the mustache. We gotta come up with a better summer promotion for the store.
A better summer promotion for the store? What could be better on a summer day than a nice steaming bowl of Hot Dave's piping hot spicy chili?
Ice cream?
Ryan, you know the freezer has been broken for the last 2 months.
A refreshingly cold Mountain Dew live wire?
Oh, come on, Ryan. You know the fridge has been broken for the last month.
Well, what do we have?
DVDs, VHS, Blu-rays, Laserdiscs, some Betamax.
That's it! A summer movie fest. It's the perfect summer promotion.
A summer movie fest?
Yeah! Nothing says summer like summer movie festival. Back-to-back movies, inside a nice dark room, scarfing down mildly radioactive popcorn. It'll be just like Con, but way better movies.
Hot Dave's Fun Summer Film Fest. Has a nice ring to it, don't you think?
In the not-too-distant future, 4 movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our 4 heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Alright, boys, if we're going to be putting on a summer movie fest, what are we going to kick this baby off with?
Yeah, we'll need a good lineup of the perfect summer movies.
The perfect summer movie.
Jackie? Jesus, almost gave me a heart attack. One of these days they're going to have to get you a door.
That's okay. I prefer knowing I'm well protected in my vent den in case of raider attacks.
Fair enough. Well, what brings you down to the store? I'm sorry to say the fridge is busted, so all the live wire is room temp at best.
Not live wire this time. I heard you mention the perfect summer movie. I know of a DVD that might be just what you're looking for.
Yeah? What is it?
I've seen it, but the DVD was too beautiful, too much input, too much sensation. I tried to keep it under control, but it just kept spilling out!
So is this like a rom-com?
She's on a special DVD rack in the middle of the store. An island. And the island is real. Real perfection. I mean, we're talking about... Oh, that's nice.
You mean the young Leonardo DiCaprio section?
It's the real fucking deal, okay? It's perfect. A DVD label as pure as snow The disc, smooth, unscratched by time.
Okay, this sounds cool. But is it really a summer movie? What's it called?
The Beach.
Well, I'm sold. I think we have our first movie.
Okay. This all sounds good, but let's have a private screening before we put it on the calendar, okay? Chad, load up The Beach.
He was looking for something new, a way to change his life.
Hey, you want to go? You need somewhere to stay?
No, thanks.
You afraid of something new?
I guess there's this urban myth going around here at the moment. It's about a beach.
A secret beach.
On an island that no one can get to.
Somewhere, paradise must exist.
I just feel like everyone tries to do something different, but they always wind up doing the same damn thing.
1 kilometer.
Two.
Richard?
I don't know. I'm thinking miles, not kilometers. I'm American.
So
let's go.
On a hidden island.
We have so much here to inspire us.
At the edge of the world.
We get into them. We're not gonna jump. Hustlers!
They found all they ever wanted.
Yeah!
A paradise few have ever experienced.
I don't suppose that there's any reason that you should spend time with me.
What are you talking about?
Just making conversation.
Do you have a girlfriend?
Why?
Just making a conversation.
A temptation.
Would you like to come to the beach with me?
They had never known. And a secret. No one ever escaped.
Never leave us. Oh my God! Never leave us.
I saw them kill 4 people with my own eyes.
Can you hear the dolphins cry?
Go home. Forget this island.
This is our home too.
Oh, we're not going back.
May God take your soul.
I will not die today!
Hey, never leave us.
Okay, that was The Beach. So my first impression while we were watching this, I'm curious if you guys had a similar reaction, but as soon as the movie starts, did you guys get the vibe that we were about to watch a horror movie? Based on the music?
My first thought was we were watching like an Anthony Bourdain show.
Oh, really?
My first thought
like a bad one.
My first thought was we're watching something that came out pretty soon after Fight Club came out.
I mean, this is like a good like 4 years though, wasn't it?
Was it?
I thought
no,
Fight
just
Club
like
was more
a year.
Like,
it's a year later from Fight Club.
It's definitely something made
okay.
in the year 2000.
It definitely is.
Society.
It's like a Danny Boyle thing. You know, he still kept doing that. You know.
He's got something to say about society.
And so does this movie, man. Woof.
Oh, it's so deep.
Woof.
Yeah.
And so does Alex Garland have something to say about society. I don't know if you saw that. This is a book that it's based off a book Alex Garland wrote. Alex Garland of Ex Machina and Annihilation.
Yeah. That surprised me. Did they say that? Like, I can't remember. Like, in the credits, did we get, like, a
the
general...
The end credits, it does.
It was the end credits, right? Yeah, because when Eric Garland's name popped up, I'm like, but he's a good writer. He wrote the novel. Okay.
Yeah.
He just said
he
Eric
also, Garland. He's credited in the movie, he drew, we'll get into it, but he drew the map. He's credited as the cartographer.
The cartographer.
Well, I think that's like based from his novel, I guess. And
yeah, it's based off the book, and apparently, by all accounts, like the book is really good, and this is like was not considered a good adaptation of the book.
It definitely, even watching it, not having read the book, or I think it was like halfway through when you mentioned the book, it definitely feels like a not awesome adaptation of something that does have something to say. Because the movie is
kind of a shotgun shot to the all over the place.
So it's unsubtle, and you can definitely see the bones of of something a little more nuanced in that it's drawing from. But again, the movie,
I don't know what you're
really
talking about. All
that.
Movies are good. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, should we introduce ourselves?
Oh, yeah. Hey.
That was Ryan, a movie diplomat.
All movies are good.
Well, I'm your host, David Snyder. I'm joined again by, as I said, movie diplomat, Ryan Caldwell.
Yay!
He just loves everything. I'm also joined by Jackie.
Hey, I like the beach.
And I'm very curious to see what Michael thinks of this movie.
Can't wait to dip my toes into that pure white sand.
So perfect.
Well, we're thinking of, you know, summer fun movies, right?
Summer fun.
I just want something simple, something summery. All I know about this movie is it's starring Leonardo DiCaprio as a youth, and it's called The Beach.
That's my favorite DiCaprio is youth DiCaprio.
Is that even? I would say a youth. You know,
I mean, 25 is youthful, if not a youth.
I knew nothing about this movie other than like I remember it coming out as a kid, in the before times, and
way before.
I know it was not well received at the time, but lots of movies are not well received and are great or. You
this
know,
film is basically Kubrick, yeah.
People didn't
exactly
like The Shining when it came out. So.
Well, there's all good people behind it, you know, and there's a start of something. And a lot of people on their rise, I feel like, this movie.
That's true. We've got the young
Tilda Swinton,
Leo, and Tilda actually is really fucking scary in this.
Yeah.
She's got her Tilda
energy
even then.
Thought it'd be a fun watch.
I didn't know anything about it either. I just knew that it was one of those movies where it's like, one day I'll watch that. You know what I mean? Because like it kind of, I remember it had that sort of kind of mixed reaction when it came out, mixed at best. And I wasn't really aware of who directed it. Like my interest in it came later when I was like, oh, that was a Danny Boyle movie. Oh, there's some controversy because it was supposed to star Ewan McGregor, and then that led to a falling out between the two of them. And
yeah.
So there was some interest in the movie, but like it was just one I never got around to. And after having watched it, we'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it. I think it would have been better with Ewan. Oh,
yeah,
I agree.
It's funny, like to like just kind of cut to the chase here. I think it'll give an indication of kind of how I feel about this movie. It reminded me a lot. I think it was shot better, but otherwise, it reminded me a lot of kind of the vibe of Southland Tales.
Not at all.
Definitely.
I could kind of see that.
Where it's
bit.
Kind of like. It thinks it's very smart, and it's got something to say.
Ah, yeah.
Bullshit. Bullshit! Throw them out there in the waste.
Oh. But, yeah. But yeah, this movie does think it has something to say, and it says it a lot in Leonardo DiCaprio's monotone... just all the time voiceover talking about how society is so sick and boring and he gets it, but you don't.
My name is Richard. So what else do you need to know? Stuff about my family or where I'm from? None of that matters. Not once you cross the ocean and cut yourself loose, looking for something more beautiful. Something more exciting. And yes, I admit, something more dangerous. So after 18 hours in the back of an airplane, 3 dumb movies, 2 plastic meals, 6 beers, and absolutely no sleep, I finally touched down.
Hey, you, how about you?
In Bangkok.
You want to go to the waterfall? Come on! Floating market, 1,500! Cheap for you, come on! Hey!
Hey, you need somewhere to stay?
I'll be fine. I found my own place, thanks.
Where you are, man?
And this is it. Bangkok. Good time city. Gateway to Southeast Asia. Where dollars and Deutsche Marks get turned into counterfeit watches and genuine scars.
Good time, boy, girl, fucking. No.
This is where the hungry come to feed.
You wanna drink snake blood?
Wait a minute. Did you say snake blood?
Oh, yeah.
No, thanks.
What is wrong with snake blood?
I just don't like the idea.
Well, maybe you're scared? Afraid of something new?
No, I just don't like the idea, that's all.
Like every tourist, you want it all to be safe, just like America.
So never refuse an invitation. Never resist the unfamiliar.
What does he call the, like, tourists?
Parasites. Cancers.
They're cancer. Well, he kind of gets that from the other guy. The,
it's planted in him from Daffy,
Daffy
the Scot.
Well, I don't know, because earlier in the movie, he even before he meets Daffy, played by Robert Carlyle, he's like watching people like watch Apocalypse Now. He's like, who goes on vacation to watch a movie?
Exactly. I think this movie was trying to be Apocalypse Now too. Like it seems like
It's like a play. It's like setting that up, you know.
But we do definitely, even before he meets the kind of emissary of the beach, he is, you know, going to Thailand as an American to say, like, man, look at all these fucking sheeple. Not like me.
What?
I'm over here drinking snake blood, man.
I drink snake blood and I want to fuck a French girl.
I have to with the local shit, okay?
One of us should, explain what this movie is. For those few out in the waste who haven't seen The Beach.
You haven't.
So did no one see it before? Like, at all? Like, anything?
I've never seen it.
I didn't even realize this movie existed.
I remember it was a big deal, yeah. I mean, I don't think I saw it in theaters. I know we rented it, and I didn't remember a lot of it at all, and I caught a lot of it on TV, and always seemed like it was the same two scenes that were on TV.
What two scenes were on TV?
It was always like, and this is skipping to the end, but Dark when fight? Like the other Americans arrive and get shot up, that was always on. I felt like I was always turning it on at that point. And just kind of like the beginning when they're arriving, I feel like, you know, it was always this two scenes. And I don't remember the beginning, the middle, and the very end, I guess. But
was this an FX movie?
Yeah, that's something to be on FX, The Beach. Yeah. And then it was a big deal because, I mean, Leo was kind of choosy after Titanic. He was kind of like, he just got sucked up by the ocean, you know, the heart of the ocean with that movie.
The heart of the ocean and the Pussy Posse.
Yeah, he was in the middle of this is in between the Pussy Posse.
Swept up into the Pussy Posse.
Was from Titanic to Catch Me If You Can. There's only two movies in between that. It was Man in the Iron Mask.
Man in the Iron Mask.
Yeah, which I saw. I saw that in theaters. And then this, and then it was Catch Me If You Can. And then it was the Pussy Posse all in between, because he wasn't doing much, because it was just...
He was too busy fucking.
Half this movie, he's just, like, smoking weed and hanging out anyway.
Yeah.
And I think, like, he was probably, I want to work with, like, interesting directors, and he ends up doing that for the rest of his career. Yeah, and so... I think like Danny Boyle had Trainspotting.
Yeah, he'd done Trainspotting. Like he was
in Shallow Grave and all kinds of stuff. So and Ewan McGregor was in all those movies. So this was their falling out, which is interesting. And it was basically because I think the studio offered more money because to get Leo in there. It sounded like that's the case. So
well, yeah, should we go over the plot?
Yeah, someone.
So Leonardo DiCaprio is he's basically playing himself. He's a young, hot white boy. He's traveling to Thailand to find adventure.
Paradise.
And he's really mad that other people had the same idea, I guess.
He's really mad about that.
He needs to be a special boy. So he's like hanging out in hostel. We see him like just kind of doing crazy stuff and kind of like writing.
Well, he does, like, one crazy thing, and then he goes to his hotel.
Yeah. He drinks snake blood, which was a really funny scene. Like, I'm
open with.
It's like who this gang, like, elaborately invited him. Like, yeah, we want to watch you drink the snake blood. Ah, you drunk it. Ha, ha. All right, see you later.
Bye.
Like, I don't understand what the rest of their day was, but he's hanging out in the hostel, and he has this, like, crazy neighbor who's it's very Apocalypse Now kind of vibes.
Raving Scotsman coming in.
And a band like swirling around, you know, in the room.
And he's like, there's a beach. And it's like a really funny conceit, because like that's like I was like
was
trying to figure out like what is like is there a treasure? Like it's just a nice beach. It's a very pleasant, nice beach.
The way it's introduced.
No. You don't understand. The beach is like, it's like in, you know, the mountains like conceal it.
It's perfect.
It's a really nice
beach. The way it is introduced.
No, it's a fountain of youth, you know? It's just
but
like
it's not. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't have any magical properties.
I'm not saying it is. It's just a metaphorical, you know?
When Daffy, this, you know, seemingly crazy Scotsman, Leo's neighbor, comes in and starts talking about it, I thought it was leading up to something like supernatural. Yeah. The way he talks about it, and then the next time we see Daffy, he's slit his wrists in the hotel room next door to Leo's. Bring on the techno. You think it's going to be some kind of like, you know, Hotel California, like you can leave at any time, but you can never check out of the beach.
I was waiting for something like that, but
and it's just a cult,
a beach.
Ultimately.
It's a cult. Spoilers. Yeah. So anyway, the whole thing is this beach is like, it's not that. It seems like at first it's like, oh, it's like hidden by the sea or whatever. And
it's
like,
just
no,
on an island.
It's just off the coast of the park. Like there's like a national park and it's across like a mile out to sea. So Leo and his two friends who he's traveling with go there.
Well, two French people, a woman he wants to fuck and her boyfriend.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so they all swim out to sea. They get there. They find out the island in question is divided in half. Half is owned by drug farmers, people farming weed, and half is owned by these like...
they owned, I guess they're kind of...
Yeah, half is people who have started living on it who are like travelers, like all these like other, mostly I think they're all European travelers.
A lot of European
gentrification,
mostly white. they literally
there's
are
one
like,
black guy on the island, but the rest of them are white. I mean,
he's
British.
To as a full-scale community of travelers.
Yeah,
a cult.
It's definitely a cult led by Tilda Swinton. And the
very
whole thing
effectively.
Is,
she's quite spooky.
And the whole thing is just like, oh, this is really nice. We just want to live here. And no one can leave. And
no one can come.
No one can come.
Except when we leave to get, like, you know, chapstick.
Supplies and tampons.
Deodorant.
So
tampons,
many tampons.
Stuff like that, yeah.
So they live there for a while. Leo plays his Game Boy on a hammock.
They smoke so much weed,
yeah,
all the time.
Weed, because weed grows all over on the island. But
sounds like paradise to me, bro.
But Leo has told on his way over there. He told some other people about the island, and when they show up, he's got to like. Well, a lot of stuff happens. People like.
It's revealed over the course of the movie that this idyllic society is in fact a cult, and it sucks to be a part of. And if you want to do something like leave to go to the dentist because you're howling in pain,
or
that's not okay.
By a shark.
And instead, we're going to tear the tooth out of your skull in our happy little room.
Or if you get bit by the shark and you're dying, we're just going to leave your dying body outside
of
town,
to the woods
so we don't have to hear you.
So we don't have to listen to you die. And that's okay.
And the movie kind of culminates with like Leo losing his mind a bit because he's got to like kill the people who he told about the, because they show up and they're going to come to the beach, but as more people come to the beach, Tilda Swinton can't let that happen, so Leo's got to kill him. He is involved in a very violent interaction with them, and
this
then
is
it cuts
after
to, like,
he like eats some random like caterpillars and mushrooms and shit, and
yeah, it goes full apocalypse now,
yeah.
And then it cuts to like him in like a net cafe in the year 2000
the very end,
and he's slowly downloading a picture
that they took on the beach.
That they took on the beach, and he remembers the beach, and then bow, 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 bow.
And there's no moral except don't do that, I guess.
The beach.
I felt like his look at the end was like, it was all worth it.
That's what it ends on. He says, I still believe in paradise. Yeah. Do you? Why?
What is life, man?
It's so... the way it ends with no real resolution, with no answers to the questions of like, what is Richard running from except for his own boredom? What are any of these people trying to escape on the beach besides like boredom with their Western lives? Mm-hmm. And what disillusioned them from that besides the fact that it's pre-9/11 and like the 90s were so bountiful for so many people. But not if you're a Thai weed farmer who's just trying to fucking work and send money back to his family.
Those were the heroes in the movie.
They were. They really? Were right to do what they did and, to murder those people.
And Etrienne, the French boy.
Oh, yeah, Etienne.
And the thruple who just, like, starts taking care of... He's the only one who's like, I guess I'll take care of the dying man.
The dying
I'll sit
man
with
who
him.
Was bit you. By a shark.
You guys got fooled. I feel like that would have meant a lot more if... So there's a moment when, yeah. So we mentioned there's a shark attack. And one of the Swedes, there's like a group of Swedes there. He gets like his leg torn up and he's all fucked up. And they leave him on the beach. And what is his name? This French guy.
Etrienne.
No, Etienne. Yeah.
It's like, you guys are fucked in the head. This is fucking crazy. You're a cult. This is nuts. He's the only one that cares about him. And initially we think, okay, maybe this guy is like the one good guy on the thing. But no, like, I feel like it would have meant that whole thing would have meant more if he actually, if we had a scene of him trying to maybe like get a raft together to send him out. But instead, all he does is, well, I'll bring this dying guy back to my tent so he could die slowly with me. You know what I mean? Like, it would have meant more if he was trying to, like, organize, like, an escape from
the
island.
The cult brought him out to the tent to be like, okay, you can die out here. And Etienne is the only one who will sit with this man and listen to him.
Yeah, the guy refuses to leave. He doesn't want to leave because he's afraid to go back in the water. So the whole thing is like,
oh, right.
You have to.
Because he was bit by a shark.
Come to me.
Okay, so I retract what I said about Etienne.
He's just trying to sit with this man and you know, give him some sort of comfort as opposed to everyone else.
And
in
he's
the
like
cold
doing it
like
you see, like, he does that for a long chunk of the movie. Like, Leo starts like having sex
steals
with
his girlfriend,
and this whole time he's just there alone in this tent taking care of this guy. Yeah.
Everyone else just wants to get back to smoking weed and playing volleyball and not listen to a man in pain.
What does it say about society, bro?
Really?
What does it say about society? I agree with you guys. This felt like a movie where they thought they were saying something so profound, but in reality they had no idea. And I think it would have meant a lot more if we got a scene of this supposed shitty life that Leo was getting
exactly
away from.
Like, we don't.
I mean, that's
see,
the point. But it's not a shitty life, you know. His mom and dad are emailing him, asking where
he's
at.
They're trying to contact him.
It's all. They're all. That's the thing. They're all having a good life, and they're just trying to find something better, you know.
It just feels like such a jerk off post 90s. Like,
yeah,
man, it sucks that we have all the comforts in the world and no real problems.
Do you remember when towards the end of the movie when it did a shot of the world, but the world was computer chips,
and then it shows that we're in an internet cafe, and like, what does that say, man?
I think it was trying to say something about like how modern Western society is all plugged in and no one's awake. Yeah. Like,
no one's awake, and all those people that want to go on vacation and go to the beach and drink are cancer.
Yeah, there was a funny bit, like when they go into town from the beach to get supplies, Leo's having his moment where he's like, oh, he's kind of
them.
Like walking back into society for the first time in like a couple months, and he's just like, oh, I'm seeing it with fresh eyes. And it's funny because he's like look at these assholes, and it's
on
just
vacation.
Like, oh yeah, look at this monster drinking a beer at the beach on vacation.
He doesn't get it,
having fun.
I'd really been looking forward to air conditioning and some cold beer, but when we got to Koh Phangan, I just wanted to leave again. In one moment, I understood more clearly than ever why we were so special. Why we kept our secret. Because if we didn't, and sooner or later, they'd turn it into this. Cancers. Parasites. Eating up the whole fucking world.
Yeah. Just that, like, they're... I get that they're, like, it's not... There aren't real problems that he's escaping from. It's just, like, his own... All these people are wrapped up in their own shit. But, like, The fact that the Thai farmers at the end do come out and say, like, I work every single day in the sun so I can send money back to my family, and you fucking pieces of shit, like, are jeopardizing that. And that Tilda Swinton as Sal, the cult leader, is like, no, this is our home. It's like, go back to England, bitch.
We're the Swiss Family Robinson. Don't you get it?
Like, you take your disposable income that brought you here and just go home. Yeah. I don't care if you're depressed. Like, try being a Thai farmer.
Yeah, there's definitely, like, moments like that where, like, oh, this movie, it could have been interesting, I feel like. It definitely hit over the head and hitches you over the head, and there's some, I think, some good moments. There's a lack of tension, and also, like, I think it could work. I think, like, and to be honest, I think the movie is sold differently when it was coming out. I remember the trailers. It's more of, like, there's paradise out there, and it's kind of like this, but then they get there and realize, like, oh, it's actually, there's bad guys there, and they're going to kill you, and we're on the run, and it's kind of like a...
We got to jump off this waterfall.
Yeah, there's like a thriller. Like, yeah, that's like, that waterfall jump is like played as if it's like an escape.
Yeah,
and in the trailer, and I think that's what probably disappointed people that didn't know about what the book's about, with, like, because they barely even talk about, like, that there's like a civilization there and all this stuff in the trailers.
I think, like, some of the really effective stuff, like, again, like, the bones of it that are there of, like, the cult things specifically. I really like that moment of, like, how casually the, like, horrifics of it come out in the tooth-pulling scene. Because
kind of like
wrapped,
Midsummer a little bit.
A little bit, because it's wrapped up in, like, this kind of goofy conversation where... one of them says to Richard, he's like, oh, that girl's out of your league, like, she's just teasing you, haha. And then, like, there's like voices in the background, and then it's a man screaming that he wants to get off the island because he's in so much pain, and Tilda Swinton's like, no, it's not gonna happen. And then the tooth pulling happens, and she turns to Leo and is like, you get it, right? And he's just like, haha, yeah. And it's played, like, so casually that it is, like, you know, really scary. But then it goes back to another scene of, like, and then we're playing volleyball, and then I got to fuck the French girl, and it was great.
Yeah, that was weird, yeah. It is strange, and I don't know. Yeah, Boyle, I think, was still trying to figure... He did this thing with, you know, his first couple movies where just they're this... hit to the face and crazy, you know, and it's this big Gen X thing, and got to this, and then I think he took a little bit of a break before doing 28 Days Later and kind of like reconfigured himself, because it is a little bit much, this movie, for sure.
So. It's interesting you say that, because 28 Days Later feels like a debut movie to me. Like it does.
Yeah, it's like resets, I feel like.
Yeah. Like it's almost like the start of his second wave of his career or something.
Because this one just, like, has so many tone shifts that it's, like, it's kind of hard to follow. Like, the scene where there's, like, parts where you're, like, is this supposed to be, like, overtly comedic? Like, when Leo's telling the story about, like, the shark fight.
The way
and it cuts to, like, him, he's fighting an obvious, like, you know, stuffed animal or whatever.
Yeah, and the shark is, like, talking to him.
Yeah.
Oh, that was funny.
I swear to God. My whole life flashed before my eyes. Really, I had nothing left to offer except for pure reflex. Pure reflex. And mankind's basic drive for survival that somehow shouts, no! I will not die today! And at that instant, man, I knew it was either the shark or me. The shark knew it. I knew it. Jeez, God, it's nothing personal, right? You know, it's just the way the world works, right? It's nature. But if I remember correctly, in that last glimmer of its eyes, there was a moment between us. Where he said, hey, Richard, man. Enjoy your dinner. Oh, no!
Apparently, like, the book And I think this is kind of what they were like somewhat alluding to in the movie, but the book has a lot of like hallucination and like you don't know what's mm-hmm. real a lot of times. And I wonder if the book does that more effectively than this movie.
Yeah, I bet it does. Because this feels like it's like not throughout the movie. It feels like it comes and goes like when it wants. I don't know.
Well, I feel like the movie didn't really shape into what it was going to be until like midway through almost. Like,
yeah.
Because there's so much like...
It takes a while to get there.
Like it's just one of those movies where I had to like grab the remote, hit the runtime. Like how much time is left? Oh my God.
Oh, an hour and 10 minutes left.
Fuck me. But like, there was times when I didn't really understand what was going on. Like, cause the tonal shifts like threw me, like, especially when they're going to the island. I feel like we get the first major scene where it's like, is this a comedy? Because they're going, they pull the prank.
The shark.
And Etrian pull the prank.
Those fucking French assholes.
Was that
a fin? And then they go, ugh! And then she pulls him down. And like Leonardo DiCaprio has like, you mentioned earlier that he has a punchable face. I think this is peak ugly Caprio when he's like, what the fuck? Like, what you pulled a prank on me?
When
like
he goes face? To screaming DiCaprio, yes. You're
yeah,
like,
this
oh.
is zero. This is the moment where I was like,
get him off the screen.
It's definitely the moment where I was like, oh, Leonardo DiCaprio is not going to be good in this. Like,
oh, yes.
He's not good.
Yes, it was, you know, it kind of reminded me of that moment. In a good way and a bad way. Well, here's it. Kind of, Mike off Mike. You've talked off Mike about Dazed and Confused, and I remember you had said there's a moment in Dazed and Confused where you think there's like a really good moment of acting from Ben Affleck when he gets pranked and he gets all this shit on him. He goes, "Fuck you guys! Fuck you! Fuck you!" And it's a really good moment of acting because it's coming from a place where from a character that's just like he's like a child in that moment, and it's actually a really good piece of acting. This is kind of the flip of it where I don't think Leonardo DiCaprio is a good actor. He's kind of it's basically the same scene, but it's flipped and he's not good. And it honestly threw, like, as I was watching the scene unfold, I'm like, I know Leonardo DiCaprio is a good actor. He's been in very good movies, but this seems to imply that he's not. Like, I guess what I'm getting at is like, he really needed that break. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I feel like this one, like he's still like, he had like this big hit with Titanic. And he's, you know, I think he had even been nominated for Gilbert Grape before.
Not like a big hit, the biggest hit. Yeah.
Yeah. This felt like a speed bump for him.
And we don't know what direction he was given. And two, like, how do you do this script? It is so all over the place.
It is weird. Yeah.
I think Leo is, can be very effectively used. And I don't think he was here.
Totally miscast.
It was either like the Justin Timberlake monotone from Southland Tales voice or just like
batshit
screaming like Christian Bale on the set of that one movie where he was like yelling
at Grips.
DiCaprio's whole performance in this, he comes off more as like a lunkhead to me. Like he doesn't like his character.
Like a little kid.
Yeah,
baby.
He comes off like a spoiled kid, like a brat. And maybe that's the direction.
I think that's
given,
the idea. Yeah.
But I guess that's the idea. But like, as
it's annoying as fuck.
Yeah, I don't think that was the idea. That because the reason I said that is one thing I saw in digging up in the Chattopedia on this movie was Danny Boyle like reflecting on this. Said he, you know, was like, yeah, this isn't a good movie. And he said he realized there was
my bad.
He said he should have realized the problem when, like, into making the movie, he realized he hated all the characters.
Yeah.
So he didn't go into that hating the characters. Oh, okay.
That's the thing. I feel like DiCaprio, his character, while he might not have been likable, if he'd at least portrayed it as a guy, like, I felt like in the beginning of the movie, I'm like, okay, his character is supposed to be one of those guys that's like, I want to live every moment. I want to be adventurous. I want to do things that nobody else does. But he never really does that. He never gets into that. He
what are you talking about? He drinks snake blood.
But that's it.
One
like,
time.
I feel like his interactions with other characters. Like, I feel like we needed him talking to, like, that couple. Like, come on, guys. Let's get... Like, I guess what I'm getting at is his performance should have been more of, like, let's get out there and do this. Let's be crazy. But really, it comes off like,
It's kind of mixed. Like he's doing that at one point, and then I feel like, you know, we're not jumping off this water, this cliff. We're not doing that.
He should have been the first one to jump.
Yeah, like I don't know. Like it kind of it's just he's all over the place. Yeah. I don't know. So
the kind of running thing about like he keeps seeing like he sees Daffy at the beginning dead with his wrists cut. He sees like that one Swede who dies in the shark attack, and every time he's like, and I felt nothing, and you think it's gonna hit you, and
you
it doesn't
your life is, you
and it's like, okay, so he's a sociopath. Is that what we're supposed
psycho.
To get from this, or is he just a bored American man? Yeah, I think the that is a note that I had that is interesting to hear the answer to of, are we supposed to like Richard? And I guess the answer is, I don't know, according to Danny Boyle.
I feel like when you, the point that you feel like, oh, maybe you're not supposed to, is when he's walking away from that guy that that's dying in the woods, you know, and he's just, and his buddy's like, what the hell? Or something like that. But I don't know, but it's weird because I was reading the synopsis of the book just to see if there's differences, and it seems pretty damn similar, except for the end. There seems like there's a more kind of heisty, sort of like action-y sort of ending to everything. Like they like put weed in like stew to get everyone to pass out and all kinds of like things going on, you know, kind of stuff, just like to get to escape. Like there's like a bunch of them trying to escape the island, and it kind of becomes like this... and I don't know why they didn't do this. They just kind of just put it all on that one scene with Tilda. But, yeah, I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird movie.
It's something that, like, I can see how it would be kind of more compelling or make more sense in a book, in that kind of narrative, without the, you know, monotone voiceovers and the just film language that you have to use for an adaptation. But, yeah, just the movie never seems to go below the surface on a lot of things. Like, I don't know if the book gets into it, but it's like we never find out why Daffy left, really. How these people found the island to begin with, which I guess doesn't really matter. But
yeah.
I don't know, man.
It sounds like in the book, like Daffy not just gives Richard the map, but is out there giving it to like everybody. Like it's kind of like a
he's trying to like sabotage
think,
the cult.
Yeah,
then?
He says he's it, quote euthanizing the community is what he's doing.
Okay.
So he gets like banished or something from it or something like that. So
okay then.
Yeah. So
tell me if I'm completely off here, but I as we watched the movie, I thought at the end, as we hit the climax and the farmers come in with the guns, they bust the party. You know, they have their weed party that they always have on Tuesday, and just that I made that up. That didn't say that.
It's their weed anniversary party, actually.
But it's the climactic scene where the guy gives Sal the gun. Sal, played by Tilda Swinton, and I thought we were gonna have like a Russian roulette. Well, I guess we do have a Russian roulette thing, but she tells. Basically, it's revealed that Leonardo DiCaprio made a copy of the map, and he's the reason they all came here. So the guy gives Sal the gun. She puts it to Leonardo DiCaprio's head, and she clicks it. You know, obviously, the bullet wasn't in the chamber or whatever. But I thought that they were suggesting, because during this whole sequence, Leonardo DiCaprio's like, yeah, show him. Let him see. Let him all see. I thought that they were suggesting that maybe Tilda Swinton killed Daffy. Like, it wasn't suicide. She, like, killed him or something. Did I get, was that, am I totally off on this?
I wasn't getting that from that.
Okay, okay.
I think,
oh, by the
well,
way,
it's
full
like
disclosure, I was stoned watching this movie.
Well, hey, then you were in the perfect mindset. No, it's like that, that felt a moment of because we've already seen in so many ways, like how, you know, horrific and abusive Sal is as a cult leader, where she can, you know, decide people's fates if they live or die, basically. And she has already, like, sexually abused Richard when they go off the island for supplies, in that classic cult leader, like, sure, I'll keep your secret that would ostracize you from everyone. And by the way, go into my bed. That's what we're doing right now. And you don't really have a choice there. And keep that a secret, too. And I'll reveal it if I want to further punish you. But this isn't, you know, you're just this... this object for me. And so at the end, when Leo's like, go ahead, like, put a gun to my head, show them like the monster you are, I think he really does, like, you know, want them to see. Because this is also like she, you know, told him to watch the other Americans before, you know, and take care of them if they try to get to the island. And basically, like, you know, it imprisons him away from, or, you know, ostracizes, imprisons, and then continues to, like, sabotage him when he's away from the group, in again, like, some classic cult leader ways. And I think he wants that to come through, even if, like, you know, he's already decided, like, well, I guess I'll die.
I guess it was, like, part of it was I was immediately suspicious that, you know, in the movie, because Daffy dies pretty early in the movie, like within the first like 15 minutes maybe, and we see the thing there, and immediately I was already suspicious, like, okay, someone killed him and staged it.
There was
like
a lot of blood in that room.
There was
though.
So much blood. Like, did Daffy slit his wrist? And just like, yeah,
and he just waved it all over the place.
Like, I was just like, so he was murdered, right? And it was staged to look like he cut his wrist. And then
I mean, that would be an interesting mystery, you know?
That's true. That's I guess I didn't even think about that.
And again, I got confused because I think I took it a different way. Like, I think you're right, Jackie. Like, it was more, it's like he was just saying, let them see the monster you are. I was thinking that, but also like, because he says something like, let them see it this time. Like, and I thought that was referring to that maybe she had killed Daffy, but no one else saw. You know what I mean? I thought that's maybe what he was referring to, but I don't know. Like, as I said, I was stoned. So
your idea is as good as Danny Boyle's.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, because I'm just kind of trying to piece this together, why this is so wild, and also Leo's performance is just ridiculous.
Smoking real weed on set?
Well,
or what?
Well, I think I think what the movie doesn't get across, and I'm thinking this is something in the book that it does, is that he's telling this story. It's from his point of view, and he's supposed to act like he's like this super badass about, you guys, you're talking about, you know, like, oh, society, man. And really, he's like this kind of cowardly kid kind of thing. Because like the end of the book, the last line is, it's similar to the end. I guess only in the thing, it's only a few of them that escape, you know, the island. It's only, and not like the whole place leaves, you know. But he says something along the lines of, it says Richard finishes by saying he is content with his life, although he carries a lot of scars. And then it says in quotes, I like that. I like the way that sounds. I carry a lot of scars, or something like that. So almost like he's playing himself up, you know, kind of thing, telling the story or something. And I think like that probably reads great in, you know, especially at the time, you know, if you were like, you know, in your 20s in the 90s and read this, you know, and that's how old the writer was, you know.
Yeah.
Alex Garland was. So
take a drag of your clove cigarette and
I think
finish
that's
the final sip of your Starbucks latte and
back when Starbucks is underground. No, I think that's something that is much easier to get across clearly in a book of like, this is an unreliable narrator who has like an inflated sense of who he is, rather than in a movie where it's like, here's your narrator. go ahead.
I think the movie could work. I think they needed to simplify it. I think they tried to do everything in this one in a way, but like kind of shittily. I feel like it's why it could be set up as a horror movie of like, you know, we're going, or it's a teen kind of fun thing, and then we get there and
like
it's
a Lord
like
of the
hell
Flies type thing.
And that's kind of what I guess that's what all the reviews of the book say is like, it's Generation X's Lord of the Flies. You know, that's kind of the idea. And or
the
maybe
flies if they had weed,
or like, they go to the island willingly, and they don't, not that they crash there, they willingly go there basically.
Yeah,
but
and then
it
ends up being like
the
hell,
darkness of
you know?
A man's heart.
And of course, kind of what this movie is, but it's just, it has all these other elements that kind of just get it all mushy, you know, and kind of a bummer.
Can I mention something I think very good about the movie,
please?
What?
I think it's shot very well. Like, it looks good for the most part.
Well, you have a good director, you know, at least
well,
that part.
Well, I was,
you know?
The cinematographer in particular, is this guy, Darius, I'm probably mispronouncing his last name, Konji, but let me hit you some other movies that this cinematographer directed. Maybe you've heard of him. Seven.
Oh, well.
David Fincher, Seven. City of Lost Children, that French movie that's like really cool. Delicatessen, which is that same director, Jean-Pierre Jeunet.
Cool.
Where was it? Oh, yeah. Uncut Gems.
Okay. Ooh. All right, yeah, sir.
Okja.
Dirty.
Bong Joon-ho's.
Like, it made me feel dirty. Uncut Gems.
Yeah, this.
Yeah, that's what it wants to do.
Anyway, yeah, yeah, like
cinematography specifically.
That's kind of like the same cinematographer of Seven, Uncut Gems, Okja.
There's a lot of this movie that is very good looking. Although we have, I think we set off mic that the
best looking thing is Leo, right?
Well, no, that the actual like filming of this movie did destroy the actual. Beach and island.
Oh yeah, like that was another thing, is like to film this beach to like make it look like the beach in question. Apparently IRL there were too many trees, so they bulldozed
a
bunch of this like old growth forest to make a wider like clean shot, and it like resulted in a bunch of like ongoing lawsuits with the Thai government because they weren't supposed to do that,
because they were like, what the fuck.
That's crazy.
Yeah, which is again makes me think that the book, the story has something to say about colonization and you know, the West in general, yeah. And that the movie doesn't really understand that.
Or he kind of did, but it just got lost in translation somehow.
Yeah. By the end of the movie, I felt like the theme of the movie came through eventually. I was just like, okay, these people are stupid. They got, you know,
they're entitled. They're they believe in nothing.
Like, it was basically just like, look at this generation and how dumb and entitled they are and just empty headed they are. Like, look at them.
Look
at them. Like, that was kind of like the theme that came across. And I was just like, did we really need to, did it need to take 2 hours to get there? I felt like you got to that point. So, you know, I felt like this movie should have been an hour and a half long. It did not need
that.
Would have been two hours.
That would have improved it. I think the theme does come across, but if like you're telling that story about that theme while actively destroying like the environment and like,
I don't think they intentionally were trying to tell a story of like, look at the, like, I think you're supposed to think Leonardo DiCaprio is cool.
No, I don't think so.
I think the movie doesn't entirely want you to think he's cool. Cause there's that one scene that I do like, before they get to the beach where, Leo and Francoise, the French girl, she's taking pictures of the night sky. Cause she's so, quirky and effervescent. Don't you just love when
that's
girls
like really
like
the
that?
Only thing you get of
that's
her,
the
really.
Only characterization we kind of get from her. But Leo starts going on about like, do you ever think about the universe? And he says like some little thing, and she's like, that's exactly the kind of shit that American guys say to French girls they're trying to fuck. And it's like, that's again that one scene of giving her any kind of like characterization or agency.
It seems worse later. Doesn't she say, like, I resent you because basically I think you're so hot? It's just like, oh, what?
Yeah, the movie doesn't really care about Francoise.
Make out underwater.
Let's make out underwater. Here's
with
this picture from the Beach Times.
You know, the plankton glow.
I still believe in paradise.
So what do y'all think about the beach?
It's a pretty beach. It's pretty perfect.
Yeah.
The movie, not so much. Yeah.
It was pretty. I found out later in the Chattopedia that the location was not actually enclosed by the mountains like that. There was a gap, and they had to CGI a mountain in there to make it look like it was enclosed.
That's how the shark got in.
Honestly, I feel like you're kind of missing out on
the shark got in because of
the
CGI.
The shark went through the CGI.
I think you're like missing out on some of the serenity of the beach when it's entirely enclosed by mountains. Like, don't you want to see the water going off in the horizon?
No, I
want to
be protected.
Nah.
I want it to be mine. It's ours.
It's like Parco Rosso's little paradise, you know?
We earned it because we swam the 2 kilometers, Mike.
I still believe in paradise.
Now, having said that, when you go out to the mainland, can you get me this, this, this? Also,
oh my god, please get me
batteries for my Game Boy.
I need my Game Boy. Please get me some tampons.
And batteries, man, AA batteries.
Everyone is like, I need batteries. We need electricity here.
We need some damn more Game Boy. Get them gone.
I heard Pokemon's out. Can you pick that up?
Oh, if the new Pokemon is out, please. I need it.
This port of Rampage I've been playing is like not arcade perfect on Game Boy, so.
Yeah, there's I think it's supposed to take place more earlier than it came out. I think it's supposed to be like 96 or something, 94.
Oh, pre-Pokemon?
Yeah, a little bit before Pokemon.
What were they playing on the Game Boy? Is the
Rampage.
Ultimate question. Oh, okay.
It was Rampage, yeah.
He was destroying society. Didn't you get it? He was just like a monster, you know, take down the buildings, man. You're just gonna live on the land.
We've got something to say.
Remember when there was that shot of him turning into a video game?
Oh yeah.
Boyle even said
that he was inspired by Banjo-Kazooie.
I read that the jungle shots were inspired by Banjo-Kazooie. Okay,
that's
great.
So just sure everyone was making this movie. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I will say that this movie did make me really want to smoke weed on a white sand beach. That does look really fun. But also, there's a world out there when other people have to do shit.
And they need to destroy it, man. Yeah.
Honestly, the city they go to, like when he's like looking in disgust of all the people like having fun in the city, that looked way better to me than like the remote.
And you have
beach
to live on an
the
island with like
weed
16 people who
assault
suck.
Weapons. And yeah, like weird hippies and someone's dying of gangrene. No one's dying of gangrene on the mainland.
No, they're just dying. They're shitting their fucking asses out.
They're just
out.
Dying of the parasite of society.
I can tell you what that wasn't happening during my screening of Apocalypse Now by the hotel. I was just eating my popcorn, having my soda.
They're watching Apocalypse Now. Like they're playing movies.
I like going on vacation to watch movies. It's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah, it looked
great. You know what's
great.
Good? Movies. You know what's good? Vacation.
You know what's good? Cold beer. Plumbing.
A bed.
Society. Tampons.
Tampons.
Fuck society.
AA batteries.
All the AA batteries you could want.
Yeah. It's a mess, but they tried too hard to do a direct adaptation instead of like taking some inspiration and just making maybe more of a thriller or something out of it. And I don't know. And Leo, yeah, you're right. He's miscast, and that's probably the start of it. You know,
Who do you think would have been a good
Ewan McGregor? Yeah.
Ewan has that kind of griminess that Leo just can't bring.
Yeah, he just wasn't quite a household name yet, Ewan McGregor. You know,
thing.
Like he was
episode
in lots of
one
stuff.
Hadn't hit.
I know he hadn't been
or
in
I guess
Star
it,
Wars.
It had.
Just hit. Yeah,
it just hit. But probably when they were making it, it hadn't happened.
Yeah, and then it's kind of like and I bet you that just started the train. Like I bet they had good intentions for it, and then just having to cast Leo because the studio's like, we'll give you more money, just sort of caused the dominoes, you know. And also,
I'm sure Leo had ideas.
Maybe I don't know how he is with that, but I think he does like getting like molded by directors. You know, he works with everybody.
He wants to be an artiste.
I don't know. Maybe. But at that point, with the Pussy Posse, he was probably on, you know, had a big head at the time.
I think when you are in the biggest movie there's ever been, you're going to be changed.
And how old was he? Like 21 or something?
Well, he's like 25 or something when they filmed The Beach, something like that. So he's still, young, dumb, full of, you know, but.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that they've talked about it. Like, him and Kate Winslet of just like their lives were just so screwed up after that, you know, and kind of had to like reset themselves, recalibrate themselves, you know, like Kate Winslet was always getting shit in the press about like her weight or something, even and she was just like, it destroyed her and he was getting followed around. There were so many unauthorized Leo movies made in these 2 years since, you know, just like the people, paparazzi movies created with him and stuff. And just that just probably just fucked you up, you know,
that will fuck a person up. It's true.
So, yeah. But, I mean, Catch Me If You Can was his next movie, and that movie is fucking awesome. So, and he's great in it. So, I don't know.
Bow.
Yeah. I mean, you can't play it. That's something, it's like, that's the time. They all thought it was MTV, you know, editing.
Like, techno is the fucking thing. You don't get it.
Yeah, it's not, it does, it's, I don't think it's something that'll age too well, but.
It's like a period piece setting.
It is.
1999 to 2001.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's like some Zoomers that love that now.
I mean, Y2K style, ask any, you know, 15-year-olds.
Yeah, Zoomers are probably over it now.
No, they're still into Y2K.
It's like, oh, yeah, my older brother used to listen to Y2K stuff, but it's all about, you know, early
yeah, teens. Yeah, what are the kids like?
Early 20-teens indie music. That's
Olivia
that's
Rodrigo.
Cool.
That's what the teens like. That's what they like.
The teens.
I mean, that's what I like, but, you know. Not
well,
the teens.
I'm a teen,
Olivia
so.
Rodrigo, yeah.
I think the teens are probably listening to our podcast. I think that's what's cool with the teens.
That's what the teens like is podcasts.
Yeah. I think. I don't know.
I have one little bit trivia thing that I want to bring up here.
Do it.
So it sounded like, are we all in agreement, like Leonardo miscast in this movie?
Yeah, I like Leo, but, you know, he was, yeah.
Doesn't
I mean, I know
right
people
here.
I know some people don't, and he can be a little overacty, especially in this.
He's kind of like, I think Leo but, at, I don't, I'm like ambivalent. I'm Leo neutral. But I feel like the criticism of Leo is that I've seen is that like he just yells when he gets dramatic. Like
that is
he does
his favorite tool in the toolbox.
He just like gets angry and like the George Lucas, like more like faster and intense.
Sorry, go ahead.
There's a Citizen Kane moment in this movie when he like wrecks his room. He's like, yeah.
Yeah,
straight up Citizen Kane.
There's so much about especially young Leo that is very like baby's first acting class of like, yeah, start screaming. That's effective. Sure, totally. Yeah, go for it.
Well, that's my Leo impression is Rose, you're so stupid, Rose. You're so stupid.
But yeah, this really leans into that. If you're going to make a case for that issue with his acting, I mean, this is it.
Yeah.
Well, that goes into the trivia I had. So he was nominated for a Golden Raspberry for Worst Actor for this movie.
Aw.
But he lost to John Travolta for his role in Battlefield Earth.
I mean, that's beautiful.
That's the right decision.
Has anyone here seen Battlefield Earth?
Yeah, it's terrible. It's truly terrible.
I've seen clips of it because it was a movie my dad would watch all the time when it was on TV.
Really?
Like, he thought it was, like, he watched it as a so bad, it's good
but
movie.
He was like, this is the
so
shit,
was, like,
let's laugh
a lot
at
of
this.
Memories I have of, like, waking up in the middle of the night to, like, because I couldn't sleep or something, and my dad's, like, out in the living room with, like, a single beer.
Like,
it's, like, midnight on FX, and there's, like, a Dutch angle of John Travolta, like,
and that's what the movie is.
And my dad's just like, look at this movie.
Look at this fucking movie.
Well, I think, when I think of Battlefield Earth, I think John Travolta going,
no!
With that terrible makeup.
He's probably better in this than Leo in a weird way.
I mean, at least Travolta has a sincere belief in
his
fucked up
religion. Shit all over his face. Yeah.
Is it true Battlefield Earth is all Dutch angles? Like, there's not any non-Dutch angle shot?
I don't know.
I don't know if there's no non-Dutch.
It's been a long time, but that sounds right.
Sounds like you picked the next movie, Mike.
I was about to say, like, enough
talk
about
what's a better
about
summer
Earth,
movie than
I don't
Battlefield
that, like,
Earth?
Accepting anybody.
Yeah, I think there's some good ideas in that one.
Yeah, that's
no, Xenu
man,
had
they
some
did.
Points.
Yeah, it's got something to say.
About Scientology. Anyway, The Beach sure is a movie.
Should we get into whether we would recommend this movie or not? Because I'm a big fat no. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Wow.
I think it does sort of fit the criteria of summer fun. Well, they are depicted as having fun in the movie, so I guess
until they don't.
I guess until they don't, and I guess that sort of fits the criteria. That being said, though, I would not recommend this movie. I'm sorry.
Just turn the movie off after they get to the beach.
No, I would recommend it to specific kids of a certain time, of a certain... like, I think you have to be...
if you're 14-year-old...
not even 14. I think, like, 11 or 12.
11.
Wow. In 2000. And then you'll be, and then maybe you watch it until you're about 14, and then after that you're too old.
You
and
you find
think
Fight
it sucks.
Club and watch that.
Yeah, I think it's more maybe I'm being a little bit much. Maybe from like 11 to like 16 is the age range. If it was someone from that happened to be born, and,
this is so specific, right?
And like either be born in like 1986 to like 1990, and see this when it came out. I think it's the only time you could recommend this to.
You know, I would recommend this to history buffs who do want to explore that pre-9/11. Mm-hmm. Post 90s, pre-9/11 filmmaking and techno enjoyers, and that's it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's crazy watching stuff right before 9/11, I think, and just see how much things changed after that. Like,
world.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Just like that, the going to that millennium change was just something else. I feel
there was
like
something in the air. And it it would not last much longer.
Yeah. So yeah, I think you're right. History buffs and kids born from 1982 to 1991. And that's about it.
I would recommend this for Danny Boyle completionists.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
If you're wanting to watch all of the Danny Boyle films, this is a Danny Boyle film.
If you make that choice.
I would also recommend this if you're like... if you're like a tropical themed bar or like a bar on the beach and you want to project
something on
like
the
silently
TV.
Just because you just got the cinematography, maybe edit out the gangrene scenes.
Nah, I mean, do you want to show this for that? You know, that's going to ruin your tourism, you know? I recommend if you're going to be at a bar, at a tiki bar on the beach, and you need to project the movie, I recommend Teen Beach Movie.
Much better for drinking.
Or Teen Beach 2, even better.
So is that a no from you, Ryan?
Like I said, you had to see this at the time.
Oh, right, right. Only
you had to be young. You couldn't be, like sneaking in.
You had to have seen it if you were born between 86 and 90.
You can't have, like, be older than college age
like,
and enjoy it.
What else came out? I'm going to check the Wikipedia, the Chattopedia, just to see what was out the same weekend as The Beach. Mm. Just before, I know you can cut out this out.
It's worth noting that this movie was a financial success.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like $144 million I see off a budget of 50.
God, how was this movie 2 hours?
That's
felt,
what I'm saying,
felt
man.
Longer.
Christ.
Yeah, I think that had to do with just people were clamoring for some Leo action, you know?
And he is shirtless for basically the entire movie.
There's some weird stuff in the soundtrack, too. I'm, like, looking at it. I don't know. This might not resonate with everyone, but if you know these artists, you know, Sugar Ray did a cover of a Brian Eno song on this.
Really?
Which is, I'm going to have to listen to that now. Like, that's a weird pairing. There's, like, Blur on the soundtrack, DJ Shadow, Moby, New Order did a song.
Oh, wow.
There's kind of a weird mix of stuff. Because so this with movies that are similar like this, like American Psycho came out a month before this did.
Which I think initially was supposed to star DiCaprio.
It
right?
was, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so this is what you would do. There's only time you could see this. You have to be a little kid.
A little kid?
Or, you know, pre-teenage. You need to buy a ticket for extremely goofy movie and go into The Beach. And that's
and
who I'd recommend it
beach.
To.
Wait, the Goofy movie came out in 2000.
No,
extremely goofy.
Wait, was that in theaters sequel? Or that was a straight to DVD movie, wasn't
that
it?
That couldn't have been in theaters.
I feel like Goofy at that point had some cachet. So
an extreme
A Goofy movie was definitely in theaters. I'm not sure about extremely.
It was directly video. I'm so stupid. All right,
is that the one where they're on a road trip?
You're so
or when they go
to Rose? No. Rose, what are you doing, Ryan? You're so stupid.
It came out the same day as Snow Day. There you go. Go see Nickelodeon Snow Day and then sneak into The Beach. You know.
Yeah, it's the only way to do it.
And that's the only people who could see this movie and like it.
Yeah. I'll just say
that. Mom picks you up and was like, how was the movie?
Day?
And you and your friend are like, great.
Yeah.
Get it.
I remember as it's just, you know, I know, you know, we're kind of running long like the beach, but that reminds me, I did that once. I remember going to see Traffic with my friends, but I told my mom that we saw Castaway.
You know, the kids movie Castaway.
Hey, so many connections well, no, here.
Just a more acceptable movie to see than the drug fueled Traffic.
You're like, we just saw Tom Hanks.
And I remember,
he's
like,
sad.
My friend even told me, he's like, so here's what you tell your mom. If she asks you what you thought about the movie, just tell her, like, oh, yeah, it was funny. Like, at the end when he gets rescued, like, they throw
funny.
Him this big party. And, like, you know, there's all this fish. It's like a fish buffet. And Tom Hanks is like, I don't want fish. Just tell her that.
Oh, man. I want to see this version of Castaway.
That's a good detail. I mean, that's in Castaway. But that's a good detail to, you know, that you wouldn't know.
Important detail.
And
yeah.
It's at the end of the movie, too. So that means, that proves that I indeed sat through and watched the entire movie.
There's still like another 20 minutes of him like walking in the lonely road, the only one I have ever known. The crossroads of life.
See, that movie had something to say.
Yeah, I guess.
Did it?
Oh, man.
Okay, so maybe this wasn't quite the perfect summer movie I thought it was. I'll be taking some room temperature live wire and going back to my air-conditioned vents. Bye!
You have air conditioning up there?
I have a lot of things up there.
Hey, it did have a beach.
Yeah, we can all agree that seemed like a real nice beach.
I still don't know about this summer movie fest, boys. I mean, if we're taking off Hot Dave's Piping Hot Spicy Chili, we gotta replace it with something pretty good.
Dave, no one bought the chili.
What about that handsome man with the mustache?
We know that was you, Dave.
All right. Let's give this Hot Dave's Fun Summer Film Fest a shot. Mike, you make the banner. Ryan, you spread the word in Barter Town. Mark the calendar, boys. First up, the beach. Next port of call, Cutthroat Island.
And then maybe we can fix the fridge.
One thing at a time, boys. One thing at a time.
Hey, Richard. No offense, but you're fucked in the hand, man.